Exercise.
Welcome back to another episode of Convos with SD. Today we'll be talking about the 2020 NFL Draft. Our guest today is Vahe Gregorian, column writer for the Kansas City Star. Vahe, thank you so much for being here today.
Sullivan, it's my pleasure and my honor. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me come on.
You're welcome. As you know, the NFL Draft looked very different this year. Do you think the draft being all online changed the level of excitement for football fans?
You know, it's a really interesting question because on one hand, I know when you were watching, you probably thought this is really weird. And yeah. I kind of thought it's really weird. But the longer it went on, the kind of more comfortable I got with it. And I think a couple things happened that were kind of neat. One was... you got to see inside the houses of coaches and general managers.
Yeah.
Or in Andy Reid's case, you got to see his basement.
Yeah.
But also, I think it was so important for fans to have something like this right now.
Oh, yeah.
That just have something that had results to it. You know, this kind of sounds like a funny way to put it, Sullivan, but somebody made this point to me a few weeks ago that right now, the only scoreboards we've had lately are how many people are sick from coronavirus and how many people are dying. And you know, we're used to seeing different sorts of scoreboards this time of year.
Right.
So I'm not sure if I answered your question properly, but I think in the end, because of the circumstances, fans really probably liked having this way. And I also wonder, we'll see in the future, but when the pandemic's over, I wonder if some things were learned from this that might almost be a better way to do it in the future.
Yeah. Everyone was debating who would be the first 6 or 7 picks. Were you surprised that Tua was the fifth pick to the Dolphins with all of his injury concerns and history?
Well, Tua's a really interesting case, and something we learned here close to home with Patrick Mahomes is this, that now what the NFL is looking for probably the most in a quarterback is what they call a high ceiling, the potential to be something really great.
Yeah.
And that was what happened with Patrick Mahomes. Even though people had some concern about whether he would really be ready fast, they understood how smart he was and how great his arm was.
Yeah.
So the thought was, if he can become what we think he can become, then the future is ours, kind of, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit of the Dolphins' thinking with Tua. The injuries are certainly a big concern, but my goodness, I know you saw him play some. You watch him play in college at his best, and you think he was a man among children. I'm excited to see him in the NFL, and I hope the injuries could be put behind him. I think he'd be good for the NFL.
Yeah. Everyone was shocked with the Packers drafting quarterback Jordan Love as the 26th pick in the first round. Do you think this means that the end for Rodgers is near?
Well, I kind of do, but I think what I wonder, I keep kind of bringing this back to things we've seen in Kansas City, but you'll remember this. When the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith was the quarterback.
Yeah.
And what I wonder is, nobody's really declared this exactly, but what I wonder is if the model that we saw there with really Jordan Love having the potential to be a great quarterback in the future and having this great veteran there with him is kind of similar to this, that they want to sort of redshirt him, like they use that term in college, for a year and have him be a sort of a disciple of Aaron Rodgers, or maybe they can think 2 years. Maybe they'll do something different, Sullivan. You can't quite tell.
Yeah.
But to that seems like the ideal thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just like the Giants, they drafted Daniel Jones. Everyone was surprised, but then Eli Manning retired earlier.
Yeah,
this
it's
year.
A little. It's very much you know, along that kind of thing. Like, you know, I think if I were drawing it up, these guys are a lot smarter than me, but if I were drawing it up, I would always want to do that. The quarterback is such an important position. You want somebody young and energetic and full of talent and smart, but you also don't want to just throw them in there right away. And and so I think it worked pretty well with Patrick Mahomes here. Aaron Rodgers, interestingly enough, Aaron Rodgers is the same age as Alex Smith. They came out, of course, this is a couple of years later, but
yeah, I remember
they came
that.
Out of college at the same time, right? Yeah. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we'll see. Hey, by the way, I know this is your show, not mine, but did you watch the Alex Smith documentary?
Yeah, that's where I found it out that Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith came out in the same year.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm embarrassed. I'm asking you if you watched it yet. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but
some of those images are disgusting.
Yeah, that's I know it's awful, and I'm not sure I could watch all those images, but I'm glad you were gutsy enough to do it.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles have not had a good wide receiver in a couple years. Do you think Jalen Reagor is a good addition to their team?
I think so. You know, one of the things I always say with a lot of these guys is, you know, unless you've scouted them extensively and, you know, really know what's going on, you don't have much of a chance of projecting how they're going to be in the NFL.
Right.
And the truth is, even if you have, you don't know. There's always a wild card. It's kind of funny. We have all this stuff where people grade the draft classes as soon as the draft class is made. It would be like, you know, grading you before you even went to school.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know, but I don't see why he can't help them. And you know, the Eagles are an interesting team. They're always kind of just about right there. A couple of years ago, of course, they really were right there. So I'm interested to see how that develops with them.
Yeah. How do you feel about the Chargers picking Justin Herbert, quarterback from Oregon, even when they said earlier that they were content with Tyrod Taylor? And do you think they'll be a contender now?
Chargers are always that team you think, oh, they almost are a potential contender, and then something almost always just seems to go wrong. Like, they get a bunch of injuries, or they're just not really as good as you think they are. Phillip Rivers, of course, is gone, but the interesting thing about Phillip Rivers, he was sort of a symbol of that. Like, he'd be a guy who'd throw for 400 yards and then throw three interceptions when it mattered
like
most.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah. So what do you do with that? And that's right. Until the Chargers show us otherwise, I think you just think of them that way. I mean, remember the Chiefs, this is kind of crazy, but four straight AFC West now the Chiefs have won.
Yeah.
And the record, I can't remember this exact number, Sullivan, you'd have to check me on it, but I think in the last 30 games against the AFC West, the Chiefs are 27-3.
Wow.
So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where until they prove they're anything different, I'm suspect of the Chargers.
Yeah. The Chiefs selected Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back from LSU, as their first-round draft pick. Do you think it was a good pick? Because last year they didn't really have amazing running backs. Williams was good in the playoffs, but other than that, he was just so-so.
Yeah, and remember, he was hurt a bunch last year, too. I can't remember which games these were now. That's all a blur to me. He had those couple really long runs where Tyreek Hill tried to beat him into the end zone. Remember those?
Yeah.
So I do think this, in the NFL, you can't have enough running backs, for one thing. They get hurt a lot. The shelf life on the running back is usually only about 4 years. And more teams, because they take such a beating, are using multiple running backs to do different things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing that's also interesting here is that I think Clyde has a little bit different skill set. He probably runs a little bit more like Tyreek Hill, maybe not as fast, certainly not as fast.
He's pretty short, though.
He's pretty short. Yeah, they look a little bit like the same physical type. But he is going to make cuts, accelerate into cuts, and run different sort of routes out of the backfield than I think Damian Williams really can. And so, you know, part of the other thing about that pick that was interesting was that a lot of people thought the Chiefs really should be prioritizing defensive backs, and they still, still made a significant pick with a defensive back in the next round. But mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs' concept here, the reason this pick addresses that, is that they want to be, what, I don't know if you've ever heard this expression, but it's called an embarrassment of riches, where you have so many options offensively that you just overwhelm the other team. And I think that's what they've got. They've added another little different look, another little different dimension. They want to give Patrick Mahomes all the toys he can have.
Yeah, I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire can also catch. He's kind of like a running back / wide receiver kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, he had 55 catches last year.
Yeah. Fits well with the Chiefs' offense.
It sure does, exactly. So that's exactly it. There's a few different things going on in there that nobody can anticipate. And when you add the fact that Andy Reid has like 1,476,329 plays in his book, and the chance to kind of redesign this a little bit more with him, that's pretty promising for the Chiefs' offense.
Yeah. The Chiefs also added 5 defensive players. I can't remember, but one of them was Willie Gay and he's pretty good. They added 5 defensive players throughout the draft, but their defense was stellar in the second half of last season. Do you think these are good picks for the team?
I do think so. And it's, one thing, as we were talking about a little earlier, it's hard to project how any of the picks really will do. But especially after you get past the 3rd and 4th round, it's really kind of hard to know. But I feel certainly pretty solid about Willie Gay as a linebacker.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy that is a little different than what they've had for a couple years.
Core last year was terrible.
Yeah, I think that was, it was a little bit of a something between a weak link and average. It got better. It did get better. Mm-hmm. And I think this was true last year. With all the change, remember all the changes they had last year? They had not only like 7 new starters, but a new defensive coordinator, a new scheme, almost entirely new defensive staff.
Yeah.
Most people figured it would be until about the middle of last season that they would start to come together. And that turned out to be about right. And they went from being a liability to an advantage. But one of the things they could do better is have faster closing linebackers. And I think that they've addressed that. So, if their defense just kind of picks up where it left off last year, I think they're going to be pretty tough to beat.
Yeah. The Patriots, they got rid of Tom Brady. Well, really, Tom Brady got rid of them.
that's probably right.
Yeah, Tom Brady left the Patriots to go to Tampa Bay. Do you think the Patriots should have drafted a quarterback? Or they said they were fine with Stidham. But do you think they should just have a backup for this season? Just to maybe be a 10-6, 9-7 team?
It's a great question, and it's a really hard one to answer because I feel like there was a movie a few years ago called Patriot Games. I feel like we can't figure out what the Patriot Games are here right now. There's something kind of funny going on behind the scenes there, and they're, as you know, Sullivan, they're a little diabolical anyway, right? We never know what kind of scheming they're up to.
Yeah.
So they could go a few different directions here, but one thing that does seem kind of clear is that whatever sort of magical powers they seem to have for a few years, what we call a mystique, that's kind of gone.
Yeah. I mean, they also need a tight end.
Yeah, they need a few things, I think. And
their offense.
I don't know if you remember this, but last year, their defensive numbers were
amazing.
Off the charts. But then But then it turned out that was all against kind of crummy teams, and it didn't really turn out to be the case for them. So as of right now, you remember them for that loss to the Dolphins that set everything in motion for the Chiefs.
Definitely. The Bengals obviously drafted Joe Burrow, but Latin, I think it might have been later, or yesterday, they were probably going to sell Andy Dalton to the Cowboys. Do you think they should have kept Andy Dalton? Or, because if Joe Burrow doesn't work out, then they really don't have anybody.
Well, I didn't see the latest on the Andy Dalton thing. Is that official yet? Does it look like it's really happening?
This morning I was watching SportsCenter and they said Cowboys to sign Andy Dalton, so.
Well, I bet that's pretty close to happening then, and just assuming that it kind of does happen, I don't really get the Bengals' plan here on Joe Burrow exactly, right? I mean,
Yeah. We've
been talking about this a little bit with the other aspects of how people are sort of grooming quarterbacks. This seems like a little worrisome for the Bengals.
Yeah.
If they're going to throw him to the wolves, as they say, you're already the worst team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And now you're just going to say, here's our future. Let's make him vulnerable right away. Now, look, maybe he's that rare guy who can just step in right away and start being a transformative player. You know, it's an interesting question. I really, as you know, am a fan of the idea of keeping the quarterback around, the veteran quarterback around for a year. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting to wonder how it would have worked out for Patrick here in Kansas City that first year if the Chiefs had just said, yeah, you're the starter now, Alex Smith, see ya.
Yeah.
If how much would it have, would Patrick have been pretty good? Probably it would have been pretty good. Would Patrick have made a lot more mistakes? Yeah. Would it have set a different tone for who he was? I think so. I think it might not have been as, just sort of upward bound at all times if they had done it that way. Mm-hmm. But look, I guess every case is different. And Joe Burrow has every bit the appearance of being kind of a once-a-decade sort of talent.
What he did last year was, that would be pretty hard to repeat for anybody else.
Yeah, it would, for sure. So we'll see. It's kind of exciting to picture, you know, what all our big talk here today, how that's going to actually turn out to be true or not true later.
Yeah. Who do you think will be the Chiefs' biggest competition this coming fall, if they do have a season this fall?
Well, so first things first, I guess, let's just hit that for a minute. I guess as we speak right now on May 3rd, the NFL is still going through contingency plans. I think there are some scenes right now where they're thinking about, okay, what would a 12-game schedule look like? What would a 14-game schedule look like? Will we play at all? When will camp start?
With the NFL,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
With the NFL, it's hard to postpone or take away any games. It's harder than the MLB or the NBA because the NBA has 82 games and the MLB has 162. With the NFL, having 16 games, taking away one or two that would change pretty much the whole season.
Well, look, you're right. I mean, if you want to just do the math, I guess you could look at it this way. One NFL game is worth about 10 MLB games, right?
Right.
So, but the flip side of that is you would still have, let's say you took out two games. Let's say you took out four games. You still have, what would that be, 75%, 80% of your season.
Yeah.
That would be somewhat okay. You wouldn't feel like the integrity of the competition was ruined if you did that. You would feel like it's just different,
yeah,
right? It's just
definitely
not the same that we're used to. But maybe by then we'll be getting used to the idea that nothing about this year is going to be the way it normally is. I don't know. Maybe they'll still play 16. You know what? Not to get too much coronavirus talk going, Sullivan, but
there's just so much unknowns about it.
Yeah, and I keep telling myself, okay, maybe around May 15th we'll have a better idea of how much longer we have to wait. Not that we're going to be ready May 15th, but I mean. And I don't know about you, I'm sure this has been a really weird time in your house, but certainly has been in our house. But I keep telling myself, enjoy the day, try to just take things in bite-sized pieces. So that's how I'm trying to look at this NFL thing. Like, we'll see what happens. The real thing I wanted to say on this before I really rambled was that it's hard to know who's the competition for the Chiefs in a way because of this. Mm-hmm. One of the Chiefs' great advantages here is this almost never happens with a Super Bowl winning team. Almost everybody is back. 20 out of 22 starters.
Yeah.
Every coach. I think there's still a sort of organizational hunger that you see in the players.
Mm-hmm.
I think that even if the Chiefs weren't allowed to participate in the draft this year, they would still be the team to beat.
That is all the questions we have for today. Tune in next time to Convos with SD. Thank you, Vahe.
I have a better answer.
Mm-hmm. Which team do you think had the best draft overall for this year? The Cowboys, they got T. Higgins and Trevon Diggs and a couple other top 60 players.
I guess time will tell. I mean, the Dolphins had, what, 3 first-round picks?
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be if those picks all hit, especially Tua, that can be the kind of thing that changes you from a – whatever they had, where they had 5 wins last year, I can't remember, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
From a 4 or 5 win team to a 10 or